completely forgot about him yesterday, but it's all right. Got him today. Research agronomist Shane Phillips. Good morning.
Morning, Anthony. And how are you going this morning?
Oh, I'm going all right. Sorry about yesterday. I mean, you're not the easiest person to forget, but somehow I managed to do it.
Well, I was listening to the secret sound. How does anyone actually figure that out?
By keeping their little ears peeled.
It sounds like it could be 3 or 4 million different things.
That's right. That's the fun of it.
What do you mean? Oh, no, I would be useless at even guessing.
Would it be maybe checking a rain gauge? It's not. You've been checking the rain gauge.
Well, I have been. And the rain has been really interesting because the last front, which supposedly was going to be 15 to 40 mils, actually petered out. So Loxton had about 6 to 9. Glupot had over 30. And Renmark probably copped the heaviest of that rainfall front at around about 22 to 23 mils. So it was a northern rain the way that front came through. I think there's more fronts coming down through western or sort of northeastern New South Wales at the moment. So the La Nina event is strengthening mainly on the New South Wales side, but we'll get the tail end of it coming through in thunderstorm activity over the next 6 or 8 weeks, I guess, which makes it, from a viticultural point of view, quite interesting that while I think we have dodged downy mildew bullets at the moment, it's always, in these sort of weather conditions, highly likely that you might get hit with one. But I think what's probably more insidious is the fact that powdery mildew has had perfect conditions for its original getting away and getting developed. So that's probably more important that people make sure they've got good coverage to keep powdery at bay now, because if it does get away around about Christmas time, it can go absolutely rampant.
Not one thing, it's another, isn't it?
Well, it's one of those ones. This is really that 1 in 10 year event when we do get a La Nina coming through, that we have high humidity, higher rainfalls in this period, which creates environments that we, you know, when you only see it 1 in every 10 years, it's always a bit more difficult managing those situations, because they're not ones that are everyday events that you're managing from year to year. It's that 1 year in 10 that you've just got to keep your eye on things.
Broad acre-wise, we wouldn't want too much more.
Oh, no, they'd be happy to have nothing from now on in so they can get a nice, good dry start, so they get their moisture levels down in the grain so they can start ripping it off. And all the indications are that the grain harvest will have some exceptionally good quality this year, because none of the grain's been pinched through the dry finishing off. So it'd be nice to hear some really good reports once start people getting on the header and going from there. It'd be fantastic.
When should we start seeing the headers being dragged out of the sheds?
Well, there's a couple of people having a bit of a nibble at the moment. I think it's one of those ones where round poor period, they always get into that early. That's always the first area to get off and running. But it's not very far away now to getting in full swing. But I think after this last lot of rain, it's getting it all to dry out again. But all really good. But, Anthony, I know you're looking forward. My potato trial in the pots is going really well. The spuds are nearly about 3/4 of a metre high. They've grown that well.
Geez, they're doing all right.
I'm hoping to be able to take some photos of disease for you so you can get a handle on potato diseases.
Yeah, lovely. Look, it's not about how high your potatoes are growing. It's how scabby they are.
Absolutely. We want to see some scabby and non-scabby spuds this season. So I'm looking forward to when they eventually decide they've had enough living and growing a few tubers for me, and then we can assess the scabs.
Now, you're doing them in two locations, aren't you? Not just the one.
Yeah, so we've got them down at Mount Gambier and up at and in my backyard at Loxton in the pots. So I figured out I could move them around and give them the right sun angles. They're living in an absolute life of luxury, really.
For something you're trying to make go feral.
Feral spuds. So, but they're already starting to throw a few flower buds, which is unusual because this variety is not meant to flower. So they're obviously doing something wrong in their own life. But it'll be really interesting to see if we can manipulate this disease and also run a suppression on it. So that it's probably one of those things where controlling the experiment in a pot is probably the easiest way to manage it.
How different are they looking at the moment between the ones you've got in your backyard at Loxton and the ones at Mount Gambier?
Oh, it's hugely different. But considering they were planted within 12 hours of each other, and it was the same seed source, so there's no other variable, the stuff at Mount Gambier's only just come out of the ground, or out of the pot, and mine are up to over knee height. So you're looking at, say, ankle height to knee height for the same time of planting. So just shows you that warmer temperatures that we get up here can make things grow a heck of a lot faster, planted at exactly the same time.
Same soil, was it, or a little bit of a variation?
No, we used exactly the same potting mix.
Okay.
And the same, we put a little bit of sand from the original pivot that the spuds came out of, so we could probably load up a little bit more disease inoculum into the pot to try and make sure that we're creating as many favourable conditions for powdery scab as we could.
Righto, look at you go, you scab expert.
And with any, if you have that real luck where the scab doesn't grow, you think you've given every chance for it to grow and it does decide, no, I'm not going to grow this year.
Look, I mean, just hearing the word scab, I just can't hear it enough. It's very underused.
It is a lovely thing. So we can just only wait till the spuds die down and then they bulk up and we can actually assess and score them at the end of the season.
What other breakfast show here anywhere in the world speaking about scabby potatoes this morning?
I don't think there would be many. Would be a highlight conversation.
I would have thought so. Hey, thanks for that this morning. Have a good week. We'll check in with you next week. We'll get a scab update.
Breakfast with Anthony Millick. Weekdays from 6 on 5RM.